Welcome to Her Wild Side Hockey Podcast. I am your hostess, Mickey, aka Hockey She Wrote. And I've got a big topic to talk about today. If you follow me on Twitter, you have seen that I have made the bold statement that most Minnesota Wild fans would not straight up one for one trade Brock Faber for Connor Bedard. I'm going to get to that. Don't worry. That's going to be the whole, basically the bulk of this show is going to be about that. First, I just want to jump into kind of the Wild and how they're doing. They have 0.1% chance of making the playoffs, folks. You know, if they win these last five games and like everybody else loses all their games, they'll make it. I'm completely joking, obviously. But, you know, we are out of it all but mathematically. It is what it is. We just need to accept our fate. Pick some other teams to jump on the bandwagon for playoffs. And it's a bummer, you know? It really is. But, again, this season has been completely weird. And there's not much we can do about it. You can't help injuries. You can't help all of that. Oh, and I just caught a little glimpse of myself in the screen here. And let me just say that the reason I look kind of like an unmade bed is because there are a lot of people that are big mad about this statement I made about Faber v. Bedard. And I was going to work out. So that's why my hair is like this. And that's why I'm a little disheveled. But I was like, you know what? I need to get this out because I'm sick and tired of weirdos in my replies, basically. And especially the ones that come in and they're like, you don't know hockey. I'm just like, you know what? You are saying that basically solely because I am a woman. Where if you read the same statement that I wrote, but written by a man, you wouldn't say that. Anyway, so that's why I look the way I look. So before we jump into it, I am just going to super quick here, put up the Quick Ticketmaster link. Quick little blurb here that if you want to support our show, you can use this QR code or the link in my show notes to help support by buying any tickets that you normally would through Ticketmaster, just through our link so that we can get a small bit of affiliate, some of the profit through the affiliate link. So tickets to anything, sports, concerts, anything else, anything you can get through Ticketmaster. So here we go. I'm going to preface this with a thing that I have said many times when it comes to Faber and Bedard. They are both great players, but you cannot compare them because they play two different roles. It's apples to oranges. You cannot, well, Faber's got more points, or Bedard's got more points. Faber has a better plus minus. Time on ice, you know, like you can't. You cannot compare it in that way. So here's to say, they're both good players. And let me tell you, I'm not like against Connor Bedard or anything. Like he's a great player. He's going to be fun to watch as he gets older and matures and his game kind of gets a little more well-rounded, I guess I could say. He's great. This is nothing like against him. But here is kind of my thinking on Faber and Bedard and why I would keep Faber and not trade him for Bedard. So, Connor Bedard, generational talent. Yes, he's amazing. He scores like nobody's business. And it's, like I said before, fun to watch. But at this point in time, his style of play is not well-rounded. His defensive skills are completely lacking, completely missing. He's got one of the worst plus minuses on the Chicago Blackhawks team. And I only am saying that because he has scored 59 points, but is somehow negative 38. Like those two stats together should tell you something. Plus minus by itself is not always a great indicator of things. But when you see that he is a negative 38, but has scored 59 points, that's something. Now, again, the defense, you know what? He'll get there. He's 18 years old. He's young. He will get there. But because of that, especially, he wouldn't fit in the Minnesota Wild style of play. Now, if they had drafted him, if somehow the Wild had gotten the first draft pick and they took Bedard, guess what? I'm sure they would fit him in. They would find something. They would shoehorn him in somewhere. But looking at trading him or trading for him, he doesn't really fit. The Wild play, I know everyone hates this word, the Wild play a very greedy game. They're physical. They are, I almost want to say aggressive. That sounds kind of like they're mean, which I'm sure some people think they are. But he just doesn't seem to have that kind of side to him, you know? He doesn't. And someone was like, well, wouldn't you rather have him to pair with Kaprizov and instead of Faber? Honestly, I don't think Kaprizov and Bedard would play well together. Everyone plays well with Kaprizov. You know what I mean? But I think their individual styles would not gel as well as other players. You cannot just decide that, oh, Kaprizov's a great player, Bedard is a great player, put them together, a great line. That does not make a great line, you know, especially if you've got two goal scorers. It's not going to gel. The other thing is where the Minnesota Wild are versus the Chicago Blackhawks, completely different places in their club. Meaning the Hawks, you know, we saw last year, they were having a fire sale. They have burned it to the ground so that they could get Bedard, and then they're going to come back up from the ashes. Okay, that's going to take time. So having an 18-year-old, especially, that's, you know what? He's going to be able to kind of grow with the club. The Wild have opted for a different tactic. The Wild have been in a slow rebuild. They're trying. I know this year they did not make the playoffs, but we've already discussed. They've been trying for a competitive rebuild. Meaning they are not just going to burn things to the ground. They are not just going to sign, you know, whoever the scraps that they can get. You know, like, they want to keep their good players. So these two clubs are in two completely different places. Excuse me. So as for Faber, here is what I like about Faber, why I would choose him. Okay. First of all, he's only 21. So he's only 3 years older than Bedard, but his maturity is off the charts. Not only did he come up through the NCAA, but he has somehow taken that experience, stepped into the NHL, and has not missed a beat. And what's amazing is that Faber is at his floor. Not that Bedard isn't, but every time we think we know Faber and what his abilities are, he matures. He develops more. He still has lots to do. Defensemen can be hard to find, especially for a top pairing. Faber has shown that he can skate top pairing more than top pairing minutes. And he has been good with anyone he's been paired with. You know, that's mostly been Jonas Brodin and Jake Middleton. And he's been able to play with them amazingly. Okay. One thing I think that people are discounting when it comes to this is the fact that Brock Faber is a Minnesota boy. He is born and raised Minnesota. And he is very proud of it. He talks about how proud he was to be a Gopher at the University of Minnesota and to wind up with the Minnesota Wild, and about how he has watched the Wild since he was a kid. And I think people are really discounting the strong ties that he has to this state. I would not be surprised if he spent his entire career in Minnesota. And as it's going, he most likely will be the next one to wear the C on his jersey. That's just how he is. That also means that while he's going to get a big payday, I think if it comes down to it, he would be willing to at least have a slight hometown discount because he wants to stay here. Connor Bedard, while I'm sure that he, you know, he's thankful for the Chicago Blackhawks. That's who signed him. That's, you know, I have no idea what his feelings are about the organization in general, but he doesn't have the ties there, at least not in the same way that Faber has ties to Minnesota. So what's not to, you know, what's going to keep Connor Bedard in Chicago beyond, you know, just obviously the fact that he has an ELC and then he'll be, you know, restricted free agent. But after that, what's going to keep him in Chicago? Especially if the Hawks are not able to build a strong team around him in that amount of time. Because at that point, there are going to be other teams that will be more than willing to pay for Bedard, and Bedard could leave. I don't know. I think that people don't understand how important it is to actually have those ties. This has been a crappy season. The Minnesota Wild have had a crappy season. But do you know who the bright spot has been? Rock Faber. Now, I know you're going to say, like, oh, the Hawks have had a crap season too, and the bright spot was Connor Bedard. Yes. But in the Wild's case, Faber and also Marco Rossi, so the two rookies, they were the ones that kept the team together when it was falling apart. The only reason that they would win any games while they were dealing with injuries to, like, you know, half of the team and playing with AHL players, basically, Faber was the one keeping them together. He was the reason. And Rossi. I don't want to discount Rossi. Now, I touched on this a little bit ago, but let me just say, one of the most surprising things and the best things about Brock Faber is that he keeps surprising us. He came in, he played amazingly. You know, the Gophers lost the national championship. He came into the league, stepped right in, was able to play, and actually played all the way through the playoffs because he was so good they couldn't take him out. He actually came out of that insane playoff series against the Dallas Stars as a +3. He was not on the ice for any of the Dallas goals, any of them, throughout the 6-game series. Now, that's when people are like, oh, well, he was playing protected minutes and he wasn't playing much. Okay, so Faber came into this season. He stepped right in and he started to play top line minutes and he was fine. Oh, well, he's skating with Jonas Brodin. That's why. Jonas Brodin goes down with an injury and Faber is still holding it together with Jake Middleton by his side. Oh, well, this and that and the other. You know what? He's been running the top power play unit. He never played power play. He never ran the power play in college. And he was able to step in and run the top unit. He was known as a stay-at-home defenseman. He was a defensive defenseman. But he has 43 points. He himself is surprised at how much he has actually not necessarily scored. I think he's got 7 goals, but assists. The way that he has been improving his game so that he is involved in these you know, these goal scoring opportunities and not just being defensive, it's been surprising even to him. So he is adding to his game, even though everyone thinks they know his game. And now people are going to be quick to point out that he hasn't been playing as well, you know, maybe last month or so. Although I would say he's come back from where it was kind of his low point, not a low point. And you know what? He was playing 25 plus minutes a game when Brodin was out and you had Spurgeon's out. Spurgeon's has been out for basically the entire season. That's two of the top defensemen. When you go down the depth of the blue line for the Wild, after Brodin, Middleton, Faber, and I'm just going to throw Spurgeon in here because typically, obviously, he is in that top four. Once you get out of that, you have, and this is not a bad, I don't want to say I'm not speaking badly about them, but Alex Galgoski has not been on his game. I think he's not as fast as he used to be. We had John Merrill, who recently has played well, but at the beginning of the year, did not. Pulled up Dakota Mermis, who has been playing well, you know, but he has never played a full like NHL game. He's been kind of a back and forth between AHL, NHL, but this season he was kind of thrown into something that he has not done before. Yes, they have gone out and they've gotten more defensemen, and that has helped kind of bulk up the blue line. But for a while there was Faber. Faber was mostly it. So to sum up, Bedard and Faber are both great. They play different roles. You cannot make an exact comparison. And I would not trade Faber for Bedard because the Wild are in a different place than the Hawks. Faber has skills on both ends of the ice, whereas Bedard is still working on honing that. And Faber has ties to Minnesota that Bedard does not have in Chicago. That is why. And you know what? There are Wild fans that disagree with me, obviously, but there are also plenty of Wild fans that agree. I don't think there's not a wrong answer. I understand, obviously, why someone would want Bedard. Like I said, he's great. He's a generational talent. But when it comes down to it, at the place that the Wild are at right now, they need Faber more than they need Bedard. All right. I'm gonna play a really short ad read for ESPN Plus only because that's gonna kind of cut off here. Otherwise, I'm gonna keep rambling about this. Okay, so I'll be back in a minute.
Thank you for watching the show. If you enjoy our podcast and want to support the show, consider signing up for ESPN Plus via our link at insidetherink.com/ESPN, or scan the QR code on your screen now. I have ESPN Plus, and I personally love all the college sports, UFC, MLB, and NHL games all across ESPN platforms. Over 1,000 out-of-market NHL games are on ESPN Plus every year. Make sure you hit the QR code or go to insidetherink.com/ESPN to make sure you don't miss out on any of this year's NHL action. And if that wasn't enough for you, ESPN Plus is currently offering a bundle of ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu for $14.99 a month. You get sports, the kids get Disney, and Hulu is the added bonus. It's the perfect bundle. I personally have it, and I don't know what you would do without it.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening or watching through our ads. We have more links down below that can help support us. Now on to some more kind of fun topics. First of all, Wallstead, first win, also a shutout. And I saw a friend on might have been on Twitter saying that this was arguably the first time that they could choose to play Wallstedt. The last time, I'm trying to think of who was out. I think Gustafsson was hurt. And it was a back-to-back. They can't play Fleury both days. And they kind of were forced to put Wallstedt in. And I think that really helped like galvanize Wallstedt. He's got that mentality that he wants to win. He is a pro athlete. He wants to win. Once he saw what it's like at the NHL level, which you can only really get that experience in a game, he knew the things he had to work on, and he did. And I know people are like, oh, well, he got to shut up, but it's against the Blackhawks. Okay, but that also means that he did not allow Connor Bedard to score on him. And that's a big win. I am looking forward to hopefully seeing him. I know people have said maybe he will start like in San Jose, maybe, or Seattle. But he will definitely start at least one other game during this road trip. If you have been paying attention to social media, you have seen that Marc-Andre Fleury has taken the prank war to an whole other level, not even another level, a whole other planet with what he did to Brandon Duhaime's car. One of my favorite things is that all the Avalanche players are like, oh no, oh no. And Duhaime just kind of seems like, yeah, okay, he got me. Like, he is not fazed at all. And that is just, that's the wild, I think, just. That's the wild mentality. Anyway, you know what? Everyone told Duhaime to quit while he was ahead. And I feel like Fleury kind of took it easy on him to start with, because let's be real, Fleury is the biggest prankster in the league. Everyone knows that. Everyone has heard about some of the stuff that he's pulled. And he gave Duhaime a chance to have an out. Duhaime did not take that. And this is what happened. My brother came to yesterday, and I've told you that he has a jersey collection. Almost all hockey jerseys. I think he might have like a basketball jersey, but all hockey jerseys, basically. All teams, all styles. He's even got a few from like European teams. And he finally counted them yesterday, because of course he went on a road trip and he bought like four more jerseys. So he brought them, counted through all of them. And I'll have to post a picture of this, but he has 156 jerseys. 156. He does have some really cool ones. And I got to say, I understand, because some of them are amazing. So the one last thing I'm going to say before I say goodbye, because I also need to vacate this office because my husband needs to take a meeting for work, is that I do have merch available in my merch shop. If you would click on the link below here, I'm pretty sure it just says Her Wild Side Merch Shop. you can see some of the things that we offer. We've got stickers, we've got sweatshirts, we've got t-shirts, we've got coffee mugs. There is the Wild Her Wild Side Hockey Podcast logo. There is Hot Girl Hockey Club, all of that. So I will wrap this up. We will see how they do tonight against the Avalanche. Who knows? At this point, it doesn't really matter point-wise in the standings. So obviously they're still going to play hard. That's just how they are, but it'll just be interesting to see, maybe now that there's not really pressure on them. So until next time, this is Mickey signing off, and I will see you later.